How are we doing? Just a bite. So, did you enjoy? Who had a hot chocolate earlier? Which one did you have? Was the mint one nice? Mint one was alright. There's enough whipped cream anyway. So, let me ask you this. Have you ever done something that is just amazing and so great, but no one's been there to see it? Or like only one person has been there to see it? So, I have been there, right? Now, has anyone played darts in here? Like darts? Okay. So the maximum score you can get in three darts is 180. Okay? And for 180, you need to get three treble 20s. Now, the size of the treble 20 is about this by about this. So it's pretty hard to get it in. So there's one time, me and my brother were just playing, just chucking darts. And then he got bored. So I was just playing away. On our family, we have like a challenge. So whoever's the top has the title. And then you play the next person. So I was just practicing away. Loads of darts. So the first one, I'm throwing the first one. Bang. Treble 20. I've got it in. Now, I've done that before, but usually this next dart misses. So I'm lining up the next dart. Bang. I've got the second one in, treble 20. Now, at this point, to get 180, you'd probably never do it in your lifetime, or maybe only once in your lifetime. It doesn't happen that often unless you go pro, pretty much. So I've got these two darts in treble 20. Now I'm lining up this last one. I'm like, right, stay calm. Wiping the sweat off my forehead. I'm like checking if there's any wind in the living room. We're good. Last dart. And it gets in treble 20. And I'm like running around the house going mad. Because I've got my first 180. Probably my last 180 as well. And Lee has been the only one to see it, and I'm like running about. Was that cut in video? Like, is there CCTV cameras in my living room? No, there's not. Unfortunately, not. No one got it on video. See, there's all these great things in the world and great things that we do in our lives. And you're going to take part now. We're going to do a bit of a game that's going to be up on the screen, and it's called Which is the Greatest? So we're not singing that song. Which is greater? So, the first one we're going to put up, this side, whichever's on this side of the screen, you're going to put a high five up, like you're high-fiving someone, if you think that's greater. If it's on this side, if you think this side of the screen is greater, you're going to do a fist pump, okay? And we'll sort of see what's right, okay? So, first one is, so high five for Facebook and fist pump for Instagram, which you think's greater. So it's not which one you think's best, but which one's greater? Which one's got the most? Facebook's got the most, hasn't it? So I'll go Facebook there. All right, next one. Netflix or YouTube? YouTube or Netflix? Oh, Netflix is going. A few Netflix, a few YouTubers. Callum Gunn's definitely a YouTuber. Good stuff. By the way, guys, can I just say, Callum made that video we watched earlier, which was great. Can we give him a round of applause for that? It was great. All right, next one. Winning the World Cup or winning Olympic gold? Where's Jade? Definitely winning the World Cup, like, for your country. There's a lot of fist bumps there for Olympics. All right, next one. Wow. There's a few Donald Trump fans. It's not good. The Queen. Not bad. All right. Who's hungry? All right, next one. McDonald's or KFC? McDonald's or KFC? I think, a lot of fists for KFC. All right. Hands down, hands down. Now, this last one is an absolute no-brainer. Like, no-brainer. Okay? Like, there's no question. I'm not sure why I put this one up here, because there's only one answer. Okay? Peter, stick that last one up. Definitely Northern Ireland. Definitely Northern Ireland there. No way. No way. Definitely Northern Ireland. A few fists there. I'm proud of yous. I'm proud of yous. I'm proud of yous. Okay, hands down. So we have things around us or in our lives that are great or greater. And tonight I'm going to talk about something which is the greatest thing of all. And you can listen tonight and see whether you agree with me or not. But think about it. Is this the greatest thing ever? So, have you ever been labelled in school, maybe by a friend or a teammate or anybody? Maybe you've been called cool. Doesn't have to be labelled bad. Maybe you're called cool or whatever. Maybe a good lad. You can call it decent, bruv. Maybe you've been called a freak or a weirdo. There's been labels people have been called. And guys, for this bit, listen up pretty, really carefully, because there'll be time after to talk. But for this part, listen up. But the thing is, we can be labeled, but we can't label God. We can't label God because we're not worthy enough to label God. Only God can label himself. And he calls himself the great I am. So he calls himself the great I am. And maybe the thing, the first time I read this, I was like, that doesn't really make sense. Like, the great I am. Like, I am something. I am male, or I am Northern Irish. I am something. But God calls himself the great I am. And none of us can call God or label God, because he is exceedingly above all things. He is mighty and he is holy. And he calls himself the great I am. No one can define who he is. See, what's God done? He's the God who made this whole universe. He put the planets where we want them, or where he wanted them. He put them perfectly. He put us in the earth perfectly, that if we were 1 degree closer or further away from the sun, we would die. That's how perfect he placed us. And for a God who does that and still knows you and knows the hairs on each one of our heads and knows us by name, that is the God I want to serve. And he is mighty, and we should be in awe of him. We should just be like, oh my goodness, God is amazing. Now, have you ever been in awe of someone? Now, being in awe of someone doesn't necessarily mean amazing. It can mean your amazement of someone, or a fear of someone. So maybe in school, I know this one was maybe for me, you're playing with a ball or something inside, and you're like, you've got lockers. Do you have lockers in school? Yeah. Some do, some don't. So we did in our school, but you're playing with your mates at break time. You're playing with a ball inside, which you already shouldn't be doing. And you're like, you have to hit number 30 of the locker, and you step up, and you're firing shots, and you get it. And you've just got adrenaline running through you. You get the ball, bang, hit number 30. But you've hit it that hard, it's hit a dent in the locker. And as you're sort of at this pose and let go of it, that teacher walks around the corner, who you're not on good terms with, who you've just failed that last test with, and who's probably the strictest teacher in the school, and you're just in one of them moments where you're just like, oh, I am snookered, I'm done. Or what about a celebrity? Maybe a celebrity in, you watch on YouTube or Netflix or wherever, or you've read about in magazines. You know everything about them. You know what color their hair is. You know what movies they've been in. You probably know their lines from their movies. You can probably repeat them. You just know everything about this person. You've got posters of them in your wall. It's your screensaver. Everywhere is this celebrity. And you hear they're coming to town to do a signing, and you're in the queue with your like poster you want to get signed, like shaking with the poster like this. You then get to the front and you like hand the poster over and you're like, you're in amazement, you're in awe of them. And they're like, how are you doing today? And you're like, uh-huh. You're just in awe of this person. Or I remember last year at the football academy I was with, there was a player from Wycombe Wanderers came. Now, some of you probably may have heard of him, but he's called Akinfenwa. Okay. Now, this guy is an absolute beast. Like, when you see a picture of him here, you're going to be like, he should not be a footballer. So, Peter, do you want to show a picture of Akinfenwa? If we've got it. We don't have it. We don't have it. But basically, imagine. There it is. There's Akinfenwa. He is a beast of a thing compared to the other guys. He is huge. So he came to the football academy last year, and it was sort of one of them awe moments where we're like, well, it wasn't really like, you're an amazing player. It was like, look at the size of you. You are huge, and you should not be a footballer. But there's a time in the Bible when God was in, or this person, this man was in awe of someone. Or awe of God. God had an encounter with this man named Abraham. Now, Abraham was this guy who was old, his wife was old, and they couldn't have kids. And God came in a moment and had an encounter with Abraham and said to Abraham that he would have children, many children. He couldn't have children all his life, that him and his wife would have children. And that he would have many descendants. And what that means is that his children would have children and so on and so on. He couldn't have kids ever. And in this moment, God tells him he will. Abraham had this moment where he was in awe of God. Now, another term for being in awe of God is having a reverence for God. And what that means is just putting God where he should be. Sometimes we like to act God as our best bud, our best mate, and we casually go around saying, oh yeah, I didn't get to speak to God today, but I will tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. And we don't really care. We sort of touch base with him every now and then. But God is the greatest thing ever. He made this whole universe. He made you. He made me. He knows everything about us. And this respect and awe for him shouldn't be a scary thing. Because he loves you so much and he wants you to love him as well. Hebrews 12:28-29 says, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshipping him with holy fear and awe. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, we become Christians, it's unshakable. Let us be thankful and please God by worshipping him with holy fear and awe. When we worship him, we should put him where he belongs, high, and worship him. And so many of you have maybe heard about God sending a son to die for you on a cross for your sins. And I've got a cross here tonight. And we're going to use it. Now, a sin is something that displeases God. It's something that displeases God that God doesn't like. Now, a couple of months ago, it's a hold your hands up moment. And I did something that displeased God. I was caught speeding in my car, okay? Don't judge. But I was caught speeding in my car. And the other day, I had to take this four-hour-long speed awareness course. So when we sin, it has a consequence, and that was my consequence. But sometimes we have things in school or in our lives which are sin. And you know what? Sometimes we feel it's not too bad, so we're like, gossip, that's sin. I know it's a sin, but it's not that bad. Or maybe swearing, the odd swear word isn't bad. I know it's a sin, but I can't. Cheating, that's like sort of. I don't really want to tell you too much about that one. Oh, I forgot that one. I'm not going to show you that one. I'm not proud of that one. And sometimes we do that with God. We don't want maybe our friends hear this one, but we wouldn't want our friends to see that one. Never mind our youth leaders. Never mind God seeing that. But that's what happened. Our sin was up on a cross. And God, the holy God, the great I am, sends his son because he loves us so much. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." He didn't just love the world, he so loved the world that he gave his only son. And that Jesus was on the cross thinking of our sin. And as he was on that cross, paid for. And even that one, paid for. That's how much he loved us. By dying on that cross. See, our sin was on that cross. And it says in Romans, "For God showed his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How amazing is that? And the difference then between Christians and non-Christians is the Christians have accepted this, that Jesus died on the cross for them. And they now have a relationship with him. But for non-Christians, imagine this. Imagine someone has got 2 cinema vouchers paid for you. 2 cinema vouchers sitting there, they're yours. Any show, any time, anywhere, and bring whichever friend you want. And you see them, and they're yours. It's there to take, and you don't take them. You don't use them. Or someone gives you a voucher, a £100 voucher for your favorite store where you buy your shoes, where you buy your clothes. You love this store. You love going to it. Someone gives you a £100 voucher for it, and you just leave it sitting there. See, what's with the voucher? Because it's already been paid for. The voucher's already been paid for, and that's similar to what God is. He has paid the price for every single one of us, Christians and non-Christians. He's paid the price. And for non-Christians, your sin has been paid for, but now you just need to accept Jesus. And as you accept Jesus, you'll see the full benefit from following him. So as Jesus died for us, he also then calls us. He calls us to go out into this world. This world that is full of lost people. Not who are lost, but who don't know Jesus. And he calls us to go out and disciple them. To go out and make more disciples. And sometimes that feels daunting. It's like, how do I go into this class and try and be like Jesus or act like Jesus? But who are we following? Who have we been speaking about tonight? The great I am. The one who made the universe still. The God who made everything in this universe and everything in it in 7 days. That's the God who's with us. That's the God who's going to be with you in school. The God who a young boy David believed in and through his faith defeated an army. That's the God who's with us. The God who sent a revival to Wales in 1904. One man held a prayer meeting where 17 people came along. One prayer meeting, one man held a prayer meeting where 17 people came along. Those 17 people became Christians. And they went out to make disciples. And their disciples made disciples. There's only 18 of them. In 6 months, there was 100,000 Christians in Wales. All starting from that one prayer meeting. In Mongolia, in 1989, there were 4 Christians 4 Christians in 1989. They took the survey again in 2008. There were 40,000 Christians in Mongolia. That's the God who's with you in class. That's the God who's with you in school and in your homes. In China, in the 1970s, there were 4 million Christians. 4 million Christians in China in the 1970s. Today, there is 67 million Christians in China. That God who has done that revival in Wales, in Mongolia, in China, that's the God who's with you in schools today. He's the great I am. And he's with you right now. And see, on that China note, it's also illegal to be a Christian in China. People smuggle scriptures in, smuggle Bibles into China. And it is growing so fast. That's the God who's with you. And he's the God who paid for your debt on that cross and forgive you for all you've done wrong. That's the God who's with you. But you're not on this on your own. You're not doing this on your own. Who's a year 7 here tonight? Year 7, stand up for me. Just year 7s. Okay? Now, as Christians, we're part of God's army. And as armies do, armies march. So year 7s, I want you to start marching on the spot. Yeah? Just like this. Okay. Year 8s. Who's year 8? You start marching as well. Now keep listening, guys. Stay quiet. Stay quiet. Stay quiet. Just listen. Year 9s, stand up. Stay quiet and keep marching. Okay, year 10s. Keep marching. Keep marching. Year 11, stand up. Guys, stay quiet and just listen to the noise in the ground. Okay, year 12s, 13s. Okay, now the adults as well. Listen out, guys. Now, as each one kept going, we're an army and we're marching, okay? Now, you can take your seats now. So, year 7s, listen up, guys. Listen up. Year 7s aren't alone doing this. And neither is the year 7 and 8s. But we're God's army, we're one, we're the body of Christ, and we have a mission to do. We have a world out there who's lost. We have classmates, we have close friends. Some of our best friends aren't saved yet. We're an army together. And what that means is we need to encourage one another. We need to love one another, help one another. So when you go out there, you're full of faith. And who's going to be with you? Your friends encourage you here. You worship God here. Who's with you when you go into that class and you're the only Christian? The great I am. The one who sent the revivals. You're part of God's army. Each and every one of you is part of God's army. I'm going to ask Martin to come up here and play. But each one of us is part of God's army. We all have a role to play as Christians. And I'm going to read this scripture out to you. And it's from Hebrews 10, verses 24 to 25. It's going to be up on the screen from the Message Bible. It says this. So let's do it. Full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. Not avoiding worshiping together as some do. Listen. But spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. But spurring each other on, what that means is encouraging each other, loving each other. So say when you're here at youth group or wherever, whichever youth group you're at, don't just go, help one another. Throughout the week, send a text, encouraging each other. We're part of God's army. We're in this together. But as we're part of God's army, we have a mission out there. We have a mission out there. So don't come here. Sometimes it's easy to play the comparison game where we compare each other. I'm not as good as that person, or them people aren't as good as me. That's nonsense. We're part of God's army. We're in this together. We have a mission field out there. As I finish up, listen to this promise in the Bible. Just listen to this as we go out. It says, if God is for us, who can ever be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, there may be people in your school, in your class, who are against you, who don't know Jesus, who don't believe what you believe. But listen to that first part. If God is for you, if the great I am is for you, who can be against you? There is no match for God. There is no match for God. He's the great I am, and he is for you. So I'm going to ask, if you bow your heads and close your eyes now. Keep your eyes closed, heads bowed. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, but you've been thinking about it, or tonight's brought thoughts to you. And tonight, you want to make that decision to become a Christian for the first time, or give your life back to Jesus. You're just thinking, yeah, I need to give my life back to Jesus, or become a Christian for the first time. And you know what? I want to become part of that army. I want to become part of God's army. That great I am. With every eye closed, if you want to become part of that army and become a Christian tonight, I just want you to lift your hand nice and high. Every eye's closed, so no one's looking. If you become a Christian tonight, just lift your hand up nice and high. Only I'm looking. Okay, and stick your hands down. Guys, we're going to sing another worship song here. But if you made that decision and put your hand up there to become a Christian, come over and see one of the leaders here at the side. We'd love to pray for you and encourage you. We're going to sing another song here, and then I'll come up in a little second or two.